Welcome to Deloitte Global Insights, a production of Deloitte Touche Tohmatsu Limited. Deloitte Global Insights is an audio news podcast that looks at important cross-border issues that affect the global business community. I'm Stephen Heasley, and I'll be your host for today's program, The Looming Spectrum Shortage, Worse Before It Gets Better, part of a series examining the 2013 TMT predictions. Each year, the Deloitte Touche Tohmatsu Limited Global Technology, Media, and Telecommunications Group looks at trends for the coming year in its series of predictions. This is the 12th year for predictions, which are compiled from conversations with TMT companies, industry analysts, trade organizations, and Deloitte member firm partners and senior practitioners. Today we'll be discussing the looming spectrum shortage, worse before it gets better, with our guests Duncan Stewart and Kelly McDonald. Duncan is director of TMT research for Deloitte Canada and is co-author of TMT Predictions. Duncan, thank you for being here today.
Great to be online.
And Kelly is based in Calgary and is a consulting manager within Deloitte Canada's technology practice. Glad you could be here, Kelly.
Glad to be here as well. Thanks.
All right, Duncan, let's start with you. This title sounds very ominous, looming spectrum shortage. So explain what you mean by spectrum shortage and what Deloitte predicts for 2013.
Thanks. You got to love the word looming in a title. It's seldom a good thing, is it? What we're talking about is primarily in large urban areas, the short version is that there are too many people using too many devices trying to access wireless, specifically cellular networks. Now, there's new technologies like 4G and LTE coming along. People are transmitting more and more data over Wi-Fi networks in an effort to get traffic off the cellular network. There's spectrum auctions announcing that, you know, more bits of spectrum will be able to be used by cellular providers. But at the end of the day, the demand is simply greater than supply. And the analogy I always like using about wireless spectrum is it's not like a circuit breaker in your house. If you turn the dryer and too many appliances on at the same time and a circuit breaker goes, you lose all the power. Instead, when we're talking about spectrum congestion, it's very much like congestion on a highway. You can still get on the road, you can still get off the road, it just takes you longer and you go slower between point A and point B. And that's what we're predicting will happen in 2013, primarily in large cities. People will get on wireless networks, and instead of getting, let's say, on an LTE network, those wireless speeds you may have read about of things like 20 and 30 megabits per second, speeds will be 10 or 5 or 1 or sometimes even slower, sub-megabit speeds. For people who were hoping for, you know, blazingly fast 4G experiences, the wireless spectrum crisis is not that they won't be able to make calls, but it's that vision of wireless internet with rapid browsing and even doing things like video may not be possible when wireless spectrum is at its when congestion is at its worst.
Yeah, I really like that analogy. It helped me visualize what we're talking about here. And at least perfectly to the question that kept coming to mind is, so why can't governments just increase the supply of spectrum?
So I'll take this one. And I think the biggest challenge is the government just can't make spectrum. I mean, spectrum is sort of a limited natural resource, if you will. It's the air around us. And specifically when we refer to cell phones, we're looking at a sort of a narrow band of the entire electromagnetic spectrum that's really suitable for cell phone calls, between about 600 megahertz and 3600 megahertz. Now, so while governments can't create new spectrum out of thin air, if you will, they can reallocate portions of the spectrum to different uses. And, I mean, we've seen a lot of that over the past couple of years with the reallocation of the old analog television spectrums. I mean, a lot of people have switched now over to digital television, and that analog spectrum that was previously used is now being diverted to other uses, such as cell phones. Now, one of the challenges is with governments, as with any sort of government process, it becomes tied into a lot of different aspects of economic development and transparency and fairness, and how do you support existing carriers versus encouraging new incumbents to come into the market. So the processes that go around to reallocating the spectrum tend to become fairly complicated with a lot of, you know, different moving parts and a bunch of different interest groups that are trying to, you know, pull the policies in different ways. Spectrum auctions are usually the most common form of reallocation of these spectrums. The government picks a piece of spectrum and then sort of puts it out to the marketplace and accepts bids from different operators to acquire that spectrum for their use. But again, the process can sometimes take a fair bit of time, especially in today's marketplace. So while the government can definitely take steps to make these auctions more efficient and maybe move faster, they can't just make more spectrum. So it's sort of this balancing act that the governments around the world need to follow.
Yeah, it sounds extremely complicated. And one of the things the prediction focuses on, it actually discusses a couple of emerging technologies that have the potential to realistically address some of the concerns with the spectrum shortage. So Kelly, can you tell us a little bit more about some of these emerging technologies?
Sure. I mean, the technologies is an area of, well, can't we just invent new things to make the spectrum, you know, stretch the spectrum further? And this is, I think there's some technologies that we see on the horizon that will definitely help this situation out, such as heterogeneous networks, or HETnets for short, which instead of just using the, you know, traditional large cell towers that we're familiar with, you sort of see, you know, smaller, what we call picocells or femtocells, which are, you know, cell towers that, you know, cover, you know, a house or cover a block or just a few hundred meters. And the idea is by putting more of these smaller antennas and cell sites around, you can increase the density and use that spectrum a bit more efficiently, because your cell phone, rather than having to talk to a tower that's a few kilometers away, can just talk to a smaller site that's, you know, in the next room or in the building that you're in. We're also looking at ways to see, well, how can you, instead of using just cellular technologies, can I hand off my data to a local Wi-Fi network? Or can I use, you know, sort of ad hoc networking where I, you know, route my call through someone else's cell phone that might have better coverage based on where they are in the environment? The challenge with these technologies is it requires a lot of different standards groups to work together. You've got the Wi-Fi standards groups, you've got the cellular standards groups, you've got standard groups in different countries that all need to sort of work together to come up with a way to seamlessly hand over data traffic or voice calls between these networks. There's also a lot of foundational technologies that need to be in place that have been lagging a little bit. I mean, people have been talking about IPv6 for several years right now as a way to get rid of another exhaustion problem with sort of running out of IP addresses. This is sort of a foundational technology that really needs to be put in place to allow this seamless handover that we're seeing with HETNET technology. So while it is on the horizon and there's some trials that are going on and some certification programs that are being rolled out, it's still probably a good, you know, 18 months to 2 years, I suspect, before we're going to start seeing much more of those technologies available and starting to have an impact on the spectral exhaustion issue that we're seeing right now.
And it's, as you talk about the potential solutions here, it makes me go back to Duncan's analogy about that crowded superhighway, or how we see that all the time around us in the real world. And so if you think about the real-world solutions, one of them would be things like tolls. Duncan, to go back to your previous analogy, what might we see that will help to address this solution in the same way that tolls might address it in the real world?
Right. So, and this is sort of a fundamental of economics, that the single most efficient way of allocating a scarce resource in a capitalist economy is through the signal of price. If something becomes scarce, the price goes up, demand falls, and therefore supply and demand come into balance yet again. That's what we expect to see as part of our 2013 prediction. Now, first of all, there are already tolls on the road. Nobody's given away free cell phone service the last time I checked. But if you think about it, if you're paying somewhere on the order of, let's say, $40, $50, $60 a month for wireless data services, if you want something like priority, you want to get a specific guaranteed burst of high-speed video so that you can watch your 30-minute show, or perhaps you're watching a sports game and it's really important that you get that signal because you want to see who wins in the fourth quarter. In that sort of situation, what we expect to see is that carriers will offer features that allow the user to say, I want priority traffic and I want guaranteed quality of service. There's a certain level of speed that I will not go, and you'll pay for that. And it won't be a ton of money, but it will be something that helps allocate this scarce resource. Similarly, broadly speaking, as the price of things like text messages and regular phone calls either drops or gets bundled into larger and larger family plans, we expect to see the price for data itself rise, especially in areas where there is significant spectrum congestion.
Well, these are great examples, guys, and I think you've really helped to bring this to life for our listeners to understand how this has real-world applications and sort of a tricky concept, but you've laid it out quite clearly for us. So as a reminder to our listeners out there, you can listen to more podcasts like this. You can watch videos, download the predictions, even take polls or participate in social media by visiting www.deloitte.com/predictions2013. Duncan and Kelly, it's always a pleasure. Thank you so much again for joining us today on Deloitte Global Insights.
Thanks for having us on.
Thanks, Stephen.
Visit www.deloitte.com/predictions2013 to access this year's predictions for technology, media, and telecommunications. Visit www.deloitte.com/global for more on Deloitte's member firms' involvement in this industry, as well as other industries and service lines. You've been listening to Deloitte Global Insights, the program that looks at today's important cross-border business issues. We want to hear from you. Contact us with your feedback or suggestions for future podcast topics, and find Deloitte Global Insights at www.deloitte.com/podcasts. This has been a production of Deloitte Touche Tohmatsu Limited. Thanks for listening, and goodbye for now. Deloitte refers to one or more of Deloitte Touche Tohmatsu Limited, a UK private company limited by guarantee, and its network of member firms, each of which is a legally separate and independent entity. Please visit www.deloitte.com/about for a detailed description of the legal structure of Deloitte Touche Tohmatsu Limited and its member firms.